I'll talk about a goal which befits the occasion, Des. Forget about top class, this is world class. This finish, Shawnee Maguire. Beautiful ball in behind, look, just checks where the goalkeeper is, dinks it over him.
And this is a pretty ball off Keane Levy. Slips it inside, here's Evan McLaughlin! City closing in, still 20 minutes, maybe a little bit more to go. But they found a fabulously incisive moment here, and what a finish from Evan McLaughlin.
Brilliant force touch. McLaughlin, only one thing is Maguire on standing hold of play again, and McLaughlin on the move again. He might be in again. Evan McLaughlin takes it early, 3-0. What a night for Cork City here. Two goals in quick fire fashion from Evan McLaughlin. Shawnee Maguire again with a huge role to play in it. McLaughlin's energy levels and he's finishing a bit of it. Look at this scoreline now. Cork City 3, St. Patrick's Athletic 0.
Oh, he can't believe it. We can't believe it. Did he drop the mic here himself? When that ball hit the back of the net. Oh, phenomenal play from Cork. Playing on the crest of a wave now. Shawnee Maguire. Unbelievable. A remarkable night. Thanks to the Lee, a performance of attitude.
Cork City had one of their greatest wins in many year in Turner's Cross last night, beating St. Pat's in the semi-final of the FAI Cup. 3-0, a date with destiny awaits now on Sunday, November 9th in the Aviva. Cork City manager Ger Nash spoke to Ben Symes of Off The Ball after the amazing win.
I'm here with Ger Nash. Cork City beating Pat's 3-0, you're through to the Cup Final. A hugely emotive night here at Turner's Cross. We had the fan protests start and then you had your players' reaction from the off, really, after the delay. What did you make of that game?
Yeah, really pleased. Good performance defensively, first and foremost, probably, which gave us the foundation to be secure our possession and make sure we defended well, which gives us a chance to then look. They had more possession, we know that, but it gives us a chance to then hit them on the counter-attack or have our own attacks, and we were really clinical in those moments. So good performance, and just really pleased with the players and proud of them.
I was at Richmond Park for the quarter-final, and when the draw got made there was cheers going up around Richmond Park. There was a lot of talk that Pats were going to come to this game and they were taking it easy and they were going to march their way to the final. Did you use that as motivation ahead of this game?
I didn't. I don't know whether the players did. My motivation's the same and the staff's motivation's the same for every game. That's the truth. We work a certain way. I think maybe for the players, maybe, I don't know, but I think maybe what's more of a motivating factor or more of more importance is the reaction we needed to show to what happened up in Inchicore 10-11 days ago, because that was a night that really hurt me, my staff and the players, and we needed to respond to that, so maybe that was more of a factor.
It's hard not to touch on the protest for the game. It caught everyone's eye in the week coming up. How is the relationship between yourselves and the owner and the players?
Look, I was in Scandinavia 3 months ago. I wasn't following what was going on. I don't really know exactly what went on before me. All I know is that since I've been at the club, the fans have been absolutely brilliant. The away fans are extraordinary, how they travel and what the form has been, and the fact that they turn up and cheer the team, they've been amazing. The home fans have been brilliant, especially in recent weeks here. The players are really buying into what I want to do and what the staff and I want to do, and the owners really backed me to implement what I want to do with the football club in terms of a vision. We've taken some long-term decisions at this football club right halfway through the season. We've tried to form the new squad, a new identity. It's clear what the identity is. It's senior players who've moved here and live here and they've got families here and they bought property here. They want to be part of something, and it's young players that have come through our really good academy, which Liam Kearney, under Liam Kearney's tutelage, and that's what we want to do. And we know what's happened in the league. We've not been consistent enough in that area, especially away from home, but we've shown what we can do when we get it right. And so look, the owner's been good to me, the fans have been brilliant, the players are really back buying into what I want to do, and we need that unity. This football club, in my opinion, for to get to where it needs to be, there needs to be a unity amongst everybody.
Just finally then, you speak there about players who want to be here and players living here. Shawnee Maguire is a player who knows Cork City very well and Cork City knows him very well. He scored the winner in 2016 Cup Final. He scored the first goal today. How important is it for him to have him fit and firing up top going into this final now?
Yeah, I can't speak highly enough of Shawnee. you know, I think Shawnee's maybe born in Luton, and I think he maybe grew up in Kilkenny, but he's a Cork man, and he's been fantastic since I came to the club. He cares so much. He's taken a huge amount of responsibility on his shoulders as well. He's played up front alone since we lost Gennaro Daniels, which is a role which probably doesn't suit him, but he's been absolutely brilliant. He got his goal tonight. He's been brilliant off the pitch, brilliant on the pitch for me. I can't speak highly enough. I'm delighted he's going to get a chance to play in the Aviva again.
Thanks, Jerry. Best luck in the final.
Thank you.
We'll get back to the City action in a small bit, but Chelsea have gone one up on Liverpool after a goal from Moises Caicedo. Ryan Bromelow reports.
Chelsea 1, Liverpool 0. It's a blue ball from Moises Caicedo, and from absolutely nowhere, the play breaks down in the middle of Liverpool's half. It falls for Moises Caicedo, who takes a second touch on the edge of the area after beating McAllister the ball. He's offered encouragement to shoot, and he lashes it into the top corner. No clean sheet for Mamardashvili on this Premier League debut. Chelsea 1, Liverpool 0.
Yeah, back to the City action now, and Cork City's Freddie Anderson spoke to Off the Ball's Ben Symes after the game last night.
Freddie Anderson, you're through to the cup final, a 3-0 win over St Patrick's Athletic. How does it feel, your first cup final?
Yeah, first cup final, amazing. Yeah, it was a great night, obviously. Took the lead early, and yeah, just Ev scores two, and yeah, it was magic. Yeah,
you played the assist for Shawny McGuire's goal. He did some brilliant work down at the goal, but that was some long ball too. Is that something you're practicing on the training ground?
If you watch the clips, we've done that a few times, so yeah. But Shawny finished this one, and yeah, it took us 1-0 up.
You've used the cups as somewhat of a distraction of what's been a poor league season for you. Is it something that you've used as players to motivate yourself to kick on to the final?
Yeah, definitely, because obviously, like you say, it's been disappointing in the league, and we've done all right in the cups and got through to the later rounds. And when you start getting into later rounds, you start thinking we've got a chance here, and yeah, we've used it as a bit of a distraction, and yeah, we're in the final now.
Obviously, the protest for the game is we kind of can't really miss it.
Yeah.
As players, is it something that you're kind of aware of and that you're affecting your game going into it?
No, definitely not affecting my game. We literally spoke about it once and brushed over it. We made us aware of what's going to happen, and yeah, we brushed over it pretty quick after it. It wasn't a big thing for us.
And just finally, obviously your dad, Viv Anderson, everyone would know Viv Anderson, but he never won an FAI Cup. Is that something as a challenge to take home? You'll have one up over him?
Yeah, well, if we win it, I'm 1-0 up, so I'll be sure to wind him up about it.
Thanks, Freddie. Best of luck.
Thank you very much.
And from Ben to our very own Rory O'Hagan now, who caught up with Kit Nelson.
Kit Nelson, just how good was that from Cork City tonight?
Oh, some feeling, yeah. I think we had to work so hard as a team, obviously weather the storm at times, but yeah, I think this group, we've worked so hard throughout the season, and I think as a city together, we've deserved a moment like this to get to the final at the Aviva.
St Pat's beat you comfortably last week. How much of a motivating factor was that tonight?
Yeah, definitely. It's a horrible feeling, and we knew we owed them one going into the game, and nah, just delighted now and into the next round.
The atmosphere was absolutely electric tonight and really helped you guys.
Yeah, oh, 100%. I mean, it's like an extra man when Turner's Cross is like that. Honestly, it's some of the best fans in the country, and yeah, it really gives us that extra percent to push on and win the game.
Shawnee's goal really lifted the roof off this place and really settled you down.
Yeah, oh, it was Shawnee's a hole today. It was just unbelievable, holding the ball up, you know, does so well against big centre backs, and massive player for the team, and delighted for him to get the goal. Yeah,
St Pat's had a lot of the ball. You had to spend a lot of the time yourselves without the ball, and there was a lot of concentration involved there. Obviously, that must have been exhausting.
Yeah, no, we knew they were a good team. They moved the ball really well, and sometimes you've got to be in a low block and you know, just work hard as a team to weather the storm at times. And we knew we could hurt them with the attacking players we had on the pitch, and that's how it played out.
And St Pat's found it very hard to break you guys down as well. You had that flat back five and back four in front of that when we were out of possession.
Yeah, we did a lot of work throughout the week on being really hard to break down, and yeah, to get the result like that, just to keep a clean sheet against the team in the semi-finals, not easy. It was a lot of hard work from every player to a man. Yeah,
what can you say about Evan McLaughlin stepping up with those two goals?
Yeah, his quality's been in great form recently, scoring important goals for the team, and delighted two more for him today. He's on fire. Yeah, hopefully he keeps it going for the final.
It's obviously been a tough season for you guys. You're at obviously the wrong end of the table, but how much does this result in getting to the cup final, I suppose, help lift the morale, I suppose, not just of you guys as players, but of the fans and the city as a whole?
Yeah, it's massive. City deserve to be in events like the final at the Aviva. You know, it's a massive club, and obviously the form in the league's been disappointing, but for us to get to the final, it's something for the whole city to look forward to, and now we're just focused on that, and obviously finishing the league strong, because the league's not done yet either.
And to play in the Aviva Stadium for the tens of thousands of people in the cup final in a couple of weeks, it's a very exciting prospect.
Yeah, it's what you play football for, to play on the big stages, and yeah, everyone's really looking forward to it, and yeah, it's going to be a great day.
Okay, congratulations, manager.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
So I'm to hear from our super saver now, Conor Brand.
Conor Brand, just how special a night was that tonight?
Unbelievable. You can tell like how much it meant to all of us, you know. We knew it was going to be a tough game, but we knew with the support playing at home, it was going to be massive. And I think the boys dug deep, done everything right, stopped what they could do, and I think we got what we deserved. Yeah.
You were so well organised tonight, St. Pat's found it very hard to break you guys down.
Yeah, we obviously knew the threats out wide, you know, but we knew if we stopped that, we've got a good chance to get through. But yeah, overall, we're all just buzzing, yeah.
How electric was that atmosphere here tonight?
Yeah, it's the biggest game of my career, probably, you know. The fans helped us so much, you know, coming down. But yeah, unbelievable. Past words.
When Shawnee gets that early goal, it really set the place on fire. The atmosphere was just absolutely electric after that.
Yeah, we knew we had to stay in the game, especially if we score early. We know that the fans are going to be with us, you know. I knew defensively that we can be solid, and I think we were. So yeah, it was massive.
Like, Pats beat you guys 4-0 last week. How much of a motivating factor was that tonight?
Oh yeah, we all said that we owed them one, you know, especially they can't come down here and play the way they wanted to. We know we had to be defensively solid, and when we get the ball to just play, when we played them up there a couple of weeks ago, it wasn't good enough, you know. We all knew that, but we knew playing at home, semi-final, we knew the fans would be with us, so yeah.
Pats had a lot of the ball throughout the game, but I'm not sure they really ever tested you, did they?
No, not really. They kept the ball, you know, really well. We knew obviously they were going to keep the ball, but I didn't really have much to do, you know, so yeah.
And when Evan gets that second goal for Cork City, well, his first goal, you can just feel the place like erupt again, but there's still a little bit of nerves when he got the second to make it 3-0.
Yeah,
the place was just done.
Yeah, no, it was a great finish, you know. Evan's scored a few goals this year, so it was massive. We knew we needed another. And then when he gets the third as well, we just need to keep the clean sheet. That's what I wanted to keep, is a clean sheet, and yeah, we got it.
So you're going to the Aviva Stadium in a couple of weeks' time, the FAI Cup final. That's just going to be a massive occasion.
Yeah, look, obviously it's going to be packed, you know, Cork City fans, so we all can't wait, yeah.
Yeah, it's going to be absolutely incredible, and like, you're going to have thousands of Cork City fans up there to support you, which is going to be a massive help and badly needed, I suppose, as well.
Yeah, we know, look, they're probably the best supporters in the league, home and away, so we know it's going to be packed and electric, yeah.
Conor, congratulations tonight. Good luck in Aviva.
Thank you.
What a night for Cork City, and hopefully we get a big crowd up to the Aviva on the 9th of November. To a bit of analytics now before we have a look back at some Premier League. Cork's Nicola Tuthill finished a fantastic 11th in the women's hammer throw in her first World Athletics Championships in Tokyo recently. As the youngest competitor in the competition, Tuthill continued her rise up the world rankings and finishes a remarkable year in the top 20. The Big Red Bench's Ger McCarthy spoke to the Irish athlete about the past 12 months and what's in store for 2026.
Now on Corkshire FM's Big Red Bench, we are absolutely delighted and thrilled to be joined by the World Athletics Championships Women's Hammer Thrower 11th overall finish and the youngest competitor in that competition, Ireland's Nicola Tuthill. Nicola, you're very welcome back to the bench. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you so much for having me.
It's brilliant to talk to you. Congratulations on a fantastic result in Tokyo, which we're about to talk about, but just for one second, if we take a quick look back, silver at the European Athletics Under 23 Championships, silver at the World University Games, a year after representing your country at the Olympic Games in Paris, you're now consistently throwing in around the 70 metre mark. What a couple of years it's been for you. Has it sunk in how far you've come in such a short period of time, and what do you put this down to?
I guess in ways it has, but I think for me, I guess I knew it was there. I'd done all the work, I'd done all the training, and you know, it was just kind of having it happen on the right day and making sure you taper right. And I have a really good team around me with my coaches, and I have like so much support from everyone, I guess, sponsors, physio, sports, like behind every athlete is a team of people. And I guess I've been working really well with a good team around me the past few years, and luckily then this year I started to throw that bit more consistently out towards that 70, which kind of put you out there in terms of like being kind of high up there in the world, I guess. Yeah,
you're downplaying it. You're a very humble person because you're throwing, considering your age, and I think that's the thing, considering your age and you're so young compared to the competitors and the people, the names that you see up at the top of those lists, like the Cameron Rogers from Canada and the kind of throwing that she's been achieving. Like, you got within 2 metres of your personal best. I know you were disappointed not to hit a PB in Tokyo, but considering you're ranked in the, you know, the top 20 in the world and to finish, you know, 11th overall, considering your age, is that something that makes you, is that something you're proud of, obviously, but something that you have to remind yourself every now and again of?
Yeah, exactly. I think you have to appreciate everything like that at major champs. Like, obviously, everyone's looking for a PB and looking to show their best, and I would have loved to. So I was a bit disappointed with the distance that I threw in the final, but with the placing, I was absolutely delighted. It's like you said, I was one of the youngest girls out there competing in the hammer, and to be at that level now just kind of, for me, definitely makes me so much hungrier. And like, I was ready to get back and ready to start, you know, take a short break, but get ready back into training again to train for next year.
Yeah, I've been speaking to Darragh McElhenney, the 5,000 metre runner who was out in Tokyo there with you, and we were going to be talking to different various Irish athletes over the coming weeks that were in at the World Championships about their Tokyo experiences, just in competition. The heat and humidity are the terms that keep coming back up, naturally enough, but how did you cope with those intense weather conditions, or were they a factor?
Yeah, no, it's definitely very warm and the humidity is pretty crazy out there, so we kind of tried it out. Anesthesia gave me a cooler box with an ice vest, and I just kind of brought that in with me, and I was able to put that on in between throws and things, because it's not like I'm running distances or anything, but you're sat outside there for a really, really long time. Like, we're brought out a half hour before we actually start competing, and then the competition could be, like, I think qualifying is maybe about an hour and a half. So you're kind of just sat there in that heat, and you only throw, let's say, two warm-ups and three throws. So you're sitting there for a long time, which I think is when it's important to make sure that you're, like, not wasting any energy, I guess.
So does that affect your preparation in terms of the drills that you'd normally do before immediately before a competition? Are they that bit more intense then because of the humidity?
I think I kind of keep my warm-up pretty much the same. You just have to be mindful of the heat, and if you are kind of feeling it, that you just take, like, you slow down a little bit. But I think we were out there for a few days before, so it was kind of practicing things in your training and then knowing what you wanted the day of the competition.
And just as you mentioned it, there's something I don't think that hammer throwers or people ask, and maybe you do get asked, I'm going to ask it now anyway. When you're in competition and there's moments when you have to get your preparation, your technique, and you produce your throw, in between staying composed, staying in the moment, and just staying focused, I mean, are you watching other competitors, or do you have mental tricks and procedures that you follow to keep your concentration levels? It must be quite difficult.
Yeah, like, I think a lot of people probably don't realize that, but you are sat there for quite a long time, and like, if a competition's not going right for you, then you're sat there trying not to think about the fact that the last throw hasn't gone right, and that you're just trying to focus on fixing the next throw. But it is kind of, you have to be strict in that, like, you have to think about it. And like, I'll go back to my coach Killian, he was out in Tokyo with me, and we'll get a few technical cues, and then I'll go back and I might do a drill or two, and then kind of sit down and try to relax, because if you overthink it, then you're running the risk of potentially, like, you know, getting yourself too worked up over it and then messing up another throw. So you kind of have to be able to manage that, and if you start off great, then great, but if you do start off not where you wanted to be, that you're just kind of saying, okay, that's fine, that happens in training too, and I know that I'll be able to fix that in the next throw, or that you just kind of have that moment, I guess, to kind of do what you know works for you. So personally, I don't watch the other throwers. I'll sit there and kind of watch where the hammer is landing, just so that I know the distance, but I don't actually watch them turning. Okay. Which is a bit strange, but...
Oh, well, if it works.
Just for me, I don't know, I prefer to kind of just keep my own, focus on my own competition and know where the distances are landing so that I know where I'm at, but yeah.
Well, it's working, so keep doing what I say. You were stood in the middle of the Stade de France during the Paris Olympics, that magnificent stadium. It looked fantastic on television. Did those experiences in any way aid you when you walked out onto Japan's national stadium, because on TV it looked absolutely beautiful?
Yeah, exactly. Like, I think, like, the stadium in Japan is massive as well, so definitely having been to Paris, you're not used to that, but used to it, you know, you've had that experience before, so it's like, you're definitely, like, very focused then. Like, you walk out and you have a look around, and especially if it's like a Japanese athlete was competing at the time, like, the crowds go absolutely crazy, and like, you'd barely be able to hear yourself, like, think, breathe. Like, it was crazy, the noise that they'd make, which was so nice at the same time, because I think definitely having a crowd like that can get you, like, super hyped up and, you know, excited.
It certainly looked like that. Definitely I'd screen anyway. Can I ask you, off track, did you get a chance to experience Tokyo, and if so, what was that like?
I got to see a few bits, yeah, which was nice. I stayed out for a few days after my competition, but I'm still in college, so I came back and went back up to college, back to placement, and now back to training.
Very good. And I know we've spoken before just about the Ad Astra scholarship program that you're on in UCD. How helpful have UCD been to you with all the things you've had to do in places around the world that you've had to go?
So helpful. Like, I've missed the first 3 weeks of college. I only started back. I'm just on my first week now, but it was actually week four. So they've been very good to me. They've helped me kind of get that all set up, and they've like given me, like, you know, if I ever needed advice or anything on like what to say to a lecturer, if I've missed, like I did miss a few assignments, and I was able to contact my lecturers and kind of let them know that this is where I was and I'm on the Ad Astra scholarship, and they've been very accommodating, either extending deadlines or just putting percentages towards like the next assignment. So they've been very good to me. I'm very lucky.
Excellent stuff. Kate O'Connor's exploits in winning silver in the heptathlon, the country went mad while that was happening over here. I have not seen a reaction like that since Sonia O'Sullivan. It was 1995 when she won her 5,000 metres gold. I mean, how much of a boost as an athlete yourself is it when you see a fellow Irish woman achieving something like that, and does it just reinforce your determination to, you know, to achieve something similar?
Yeah, like 100% watching Kate is so inspiring, and she's so humble herself and just so such a lovely girl. And like you can tell by her, she's so professional and she works so, so hard. And yeah, like she deserves it so much. And it's incredible. I think such a boost for the country, and especially her being a heptathlete, I think, because she competes across all events, and track and field is running, jumping, throwing, and she does them all. So I think it's so inspiring for all the kids back home to know that you can do one event or you can do all of them.
Very true. Just finally, your short-term plans between now and the end of the year, and what do you hope 2026 holds for you, Nicola?
I guess 2026 is a lot quieter of a year for me because I'm now like full-time senior, I guess. I'm not under 23 anymore. So like I'll have the European Throwing Cup in March, which will kind of be my first competition abroad. And then after that, there's kind of European Championships are the main one in 2026. So I've hit that qualifying standard this year, which is really handy. Then I'm not, like, next year I'll have to prove form and everything, but I won't be kind of chasing ranking points to qualify. So it'll be a little bit more chill. I can kind of pick and choose which competitions I want to go to, which will be nice that I won't have to compete as often. But yeah, I think it's just back to training now and working on everything that, you know, like technique, power, speed, strength, like just working on everything for the year, and then hopefully next year be able to push out my PB a little bit more.
Yes, indeed. Hopefully so. Look, you've given us some fantastic memories over the last 2 years, specifically the last 12 months as well. And you finished the year in the top 20 hammer throwers in the world, finishing 11th in your first ever World Championships. It's been a magnificent year. We're so delighted for you here. Everybody in Cork Street FM, Big Red Bench, is always thrilled to see you doing well, Nicola. We thank you for your time yet again. Enjoy the rest of the year and Christmas and the new year. And we might catch up with you again in 2026.
Thank you very much for having me.
Yeah, big thanks to Joe McCarthy and Nicola Tothill on that one. Plenty more sporting action to come in the second half.
Times.
Red FM.
Welcome back to the Big Red Bench here on Cork's Good Times Red FM. Dan Casey here with you for the next half hour or so, and to a bit of rugby and the energy of All-Ireland League today. In Division 1A, Cork Conn beat Tyrannamore 42 points to 14. In Division 1B, UCC lost out 17 points to 31 against Instonians. But Highfield then beat Blackrock College 27 points to 15. And Energia AIL updates are with thanks to Energia. Think of the possibilities. Munster-wise now, they play their first URC home game of the year tonight in Thomond at 7.45. And to chat about that one, we have our own Roy O'Hagan, Alan Quinlan and Fiona Hayes as they take on the Cardiff Blues tonight in Thomond. But first, they talk about Niall Scannell getting his getting to the 200 cap mark.
Certainly so, fingers crossed. Anyway, off to a good start last Saturday. Just before we name our star of the week, Fiona, just a mention on Niall Scannell, who becomes the 14th player, I think, or 17th player to reach 200 caps in Munster. Made his debut back in 2013 in Cork. It's just been an incredible run for him. Congratulations to Niall, first off, but a tremendous servant from Munster over the past 12 years.
Absolutely. I mean, what a player to have. You know, even when pressure came on from Barron, you were still, who was lighting up, you were still wondering who would start between Scannell and Barron, and Barron was up at Irish camp. He's just got that steadiness at line out time. Obviously, this weekend I thought it went really well. I thought the line out was sharp. He looked sharp. If you can't look sharp on your 200 cap, though, I suppose that's give you an extra incentive to go there. But just even scrum wise, I think he's very, very good. You see a difference when he's in there, the power he brings, and it's his composure, how he talks to the players around him. He's just a real Munster stalwart. How he aggressive he is, how defensive minded he gets up in the line, he's bringing guys with him. And I'd say even, you know, I'd say not sad, but just he's been around with his brother so long and Rory's always been there, and he's 200 cap, I suppose this season he's not there, but certainly I thought he put in a big shift at the weekend. And you could see from him as well, Rory, there's a lot left in him, you know what I mean? You're not saying, oh God, Scannell is on the way down. I think he's still putting in those big performances, and especially I see it the most when we're playing those big South African teams, or when we're playing in those European games. And it's not that he's a huge guy, it's just his ability to get involved in those games, and I suppose get himself into the mix of things. And over the years I've just loved watching him play, and to come up with a performance like that as well on his 200 cap shows, he still has a lot to give this Munster side.
Just if I could add to the Niall Scannell thing, okay. Just to congrats, yeah. Fiona said everything that needs to be said as regards his consistency and what he's given for Munster. I think it is a lovely achievement. I remember when it happened to me, it was, wow, it just goes like that, really, you know what I mean? But fair play to him. It's a brilliant achievement, and congratulations to Niall Scannell on achieving that brilliant feat. I think we congratulated Niall Scannell on 200 caps. I think Conor Bartley's story is a great story as well. And that shows that, you know, sometimes don't throw in the towel. He's not, I don't know what age he's in, mid to late 20s, isn't he? He's in his late 20s, but, you know, playing standout player for Young Munster for the last few years. And it's just great to see him get on that jersey, you know. And Niall Scanlon has joined the 200 club, but Conor Bartley has joined the Munster club essentially by getting capped in this competitive fixture. So great moment for him, and I love to see that with players.
He's 30, Quinny.
Yeah. So it's great to see, and great to see him getting on as well.
Yeah, congratulations to him. He had an interview in the Examiner, I think it was, and he said that he thought it was one of the lads taking the piss when he got the call. That's what Munster, but congratulations, it was absolutely fantastic.
Well, I heard really good things about him, Rory. Players have been impressed, and he's been you know, I think there's an optimism and a feeling that he could play and have a lot of involvements this year. So
brilliant.
It's great to see that as well.
Absolutely fantastic stuff indeed. All right, let's look ahead. Going from Munster's first win of the season, we'll go to our first home game of the season this coming Saturday at Thomond Park, 5:30 kickoff, taking on Cardiff. Cardiff had a good win over the Lions, Fiona, in their opening game, 33-20, although they had Ben Thomas red carded. Yeah. What can we expect, I suppose, from Cardiff this Saturday?
Look, they're really good. I think their back row in particular, Tay and Basham, we saw Lawrence getting man of the match at number 8, so I think they're just physically dominant in that breakdown area. They're always waiting to get a turnover. To be able to come up with that big win, Rory, against the Lions, I know they're at home, but like, that was unbelievable, especially losing a player so early on the game. I think the thing with Welsh rugby, and we've been saying it a lot, I suppose, when we're playing the Welsh opposition, there's a few guys obviously in and out, but in general, when it's URC time, these guys look, they've played together, they're cohesive, they're compact, they know each other, they're able to read each other well. Do you know, they get their internationals back in as soon as they can. There isn't as much rotation, I suppose. So over the years, even we look at that April, was it 25th of April last year or this year when we lost over in Cardiff? I mean, just how composed their kicking game, their attack game, but it's certainly for me, it's their breakdown, how they defend, how they slow you down, and against this Munster team, they've definitely got change out of that area over the years. So certainly I think Macmillan, what we saw on the back of last week, that's an area we've seen slight improvement from Munster, so they'll have to be spot on with Cardiff coming to town. But unbelievable last week. Yes, it wasn't the prettiest, but to come up with a Lions win, we know what the Lions can do on counter-attack, but they were able to nullify that even with one player down in the, with that red card. So I'm excited for them to come, because I think on the back of last year, we definitely owe them one. And it's a game that always, when Munster play Cardiff, we do see a lot of tries, you know what I mean? They do like to, both teams like to run and attack rugby. So it's going to be, for that second game, it's going to be a cracking one to witness in Thomond Park.
Yeah, Munster have won three of the last five meetings between the sides, but as Fiona mentioned, losing in April this year, 26-21, back in April. Nash, Haley and Farrell with the tries for Munster that day. Some good players though on this Cardiff side, Quinny.
Yeah, there is, and they're a very attack-oriented team as well. They had 11 offloads as opposed to two against the Lions. 14 clean breaks, 15 defenders beaten. So obviously when they play at home and they play in a 4G pitch in their own place, it's part of their game as well. But, you know, they have some very good players, I think. And Fiona mentioned that back row, Alex Mann, got two tries. He's a very good player at number six. Welsh international, Basham as well, who came from the Dragons. Very good player. So they're hard games to kind of call. You don't know if there'll be a bit of rotation. Ben Thomas was sent off, the Welsh international. So he was playing at 12. So he'll obviously miss this weekend. But they're a dangerous side, I think. And again, this is something Munster can't really control themselves. That's all they can do is control themselves, not the opposition. But I think this is a dangerous Cardiff side who they do score a lot of tries and they do throw the ball around a bit, and they have some pace. I think with Josh Adams and Cam Winnett at fullback, he's a very dangerous, elusive player as well. So I think, without being disrespectful, and Munster have to kind of, you have to win your home games, and that's where playoff spots come up if you start losing home games. So it's very, very early in the season, but for Munster and that whole shift that we're hoping for, this is a must-win game, as is the week after when you're at home. And that's what you've got to do, lay down a marker, because it's difficult to win away in this league. And how many away wins was there in the league last weekend? You tell me, Fiona. I've a cut now.
I'm going to say one. Was there one? One. Yeah, it was.
So it tells its own story. I think everybody is, you know, at the start, you're always going to have a little bit of ring rustiness from everybody, and maybe things don't go according to plan. But it's becoming more difficult in this league to win away from home. And you've got to deal with a lot of factors. So, Munster had to win this game at the weekend, and there's quite a dangerous side here coming to Thomond Park. Who'll fancy it? And they've caused Munster problems there before. It's one to look forward to. But let's see. You can't play the same team every week. There'll probably be a few changes, maybe, on both sides. But I think it's a game Munster should be winning.
Yeah, hopefully Munster do the job for their first home URC game this evening in Thomond at 7:45 from rugby to LGFA now. And the 2025 Cork Credit Union's Cork LGFA Senior A and B County Finals, they take place in MTU Cork tomorrow afternoon. The Senior B County Final throws in at 1:30 between Glanmire and O'Donovan Rossa, and then that's followed at 4 p.m. by the Senior A decider between Ahada and Aroge, and that's a repeat of last year's dramatic final, won of course by Ahada on free kicks. Now, ahead of an action-packed doubleheader, the Big Red Bench's Ger McCarthy spoke to all four captains. Ger was a busy man this week. Ahada's Roisin Phelan, Aroge's Jennifer O'Gorman, Glanmire's Ali McCarthy and O'Donovan Ross's Laura O'Mahony. We'll start now with Ali McCarthy of Glanmire.
Now, ahead of Sunday's doubleheader of Cork Credit Union's Cork LGFA Senior A and Senior B County Finals at MTU Cork, we are delighted to be joined on the line by one of the clubs involved in those, and that's Glanmire, who are taking on O'Donovan Rossa in the Senior B County decider. And on the line, we have Glanmire captain Ali McCarthy to preview the game for us. Ali, you're very welcome to the Big Red Bench. How are you?
I'm good. How are you, Ger? Thanks for having me.
Really good, and thanks for taking the time to speak to us. It's going to be a hectic week and a build-up for Glanmire, but first of all, congratulations on reaching a Senior B County Final. You did that by finishing third in a very, very, very tight group in the opening stages of this year's championship, and then defeating Clonakilty, who won this title last year, so to get to the final. So you've done it the hard way, but how much is everybody in the panel looking forward to this?
Obviously, we're looking forward to reaching a final. Like, it's nice to know that the hard work during the year was worth it. Like, I think all the girls collectively are looking forward to the final regarding all the tactics and all the, I suppose, the hard work we've put in throughout the year to make a final is always very special.
It certainly is, and something Glenmire are well used to from down through the years, winning all our intermediate titles in the past. Ali, you had a very tough group this year. You had Kinsale and Bright Rovers, who you defeated, but you also had Aireog and Mourne Abbey, who just pipped you to those senior A semi-final spots. How tough was that group this year for you?
Yeah, well, we knew going into it was going to be challenging. Like, those teams are exceptional, and I suppose, like, for such a young team that we are, they're the teams that we look up to. So we're delighted to be, I suppose, playing with them on the same level. Just disappointing results, obviously, but they're excellent teams.
And do you find that the step up to senior is a really, really tough one, because you've come up through the ranks, much like O'Donovan Rossi, your opponents on Sunday, but from Glanmire's point of view, you've had big days out in MTU Cork before. Do you think that'll be a help ahead of the final on Sunday?
Yeah, like, I suppose the challenging games, they help us and they develop us, and we are, as a team, we're looking for a challenge, as in we constantly want to build and improve our performance, so it's great to come up against teams like that, and I suppose being familiar with MTU does help, so reaching MTU now on Sunday will be great, and we're looking forward to it.
You've also been very lucky, much like O'Donovan Ross, to have a huge following. There's always great support, not just this year, but down through the years, to get Glanmire up and running. Ladies football is very, very is a very, very popular sport in the area. Have you found that over the last couple of years? Is it growing? Do you see more young players getting involved?
Definitely. Like, it's great to see even the younger girls coming to the games. And I know that some of us on the panel with senior, we go down and we train and we go to the matches and we try and support as much as we can. So it is great to see. We're actually celebrating our 25th year anniversary coming up in the 1st of November. So I suppose that just goes to show how far the club has came and the development of the girls.
And reaching finals certainly helps that, Ali, because it drums up a lot of interest and it drums up a lot of support. You are up against it on Sunday because you're facing a team much like yourselves, O'Donovan Rossa, who've come up through the ranks, Junior B, Junior A, Intermediate. This is going to be a really tough challenge for you.
Yeah, exactly. We know that O'Donovan Rossa are going to come out strong, I think, especially given the momentum that they've built with their recent success. So we definitely are expecting a tough game.
This year at senior level, and you've had a look at it now for the last couple of years, how high a quality is it in terms of matches? You've come up against some real, you know, heavy hitters in Mourne Abbey and Aireog, but the likes of Kinsale and Bright Rovers, they're no slouches either. I mean, this level, as you've seen beating Clann at the weekend, there are no easy games at this grade anymore.
No, not at all. And I think, like, even off the back of winning the intermediate, I think if you'd have told us back then that we would be heading into a Senior B final, we'd be delighted with ourselves. Like, every game we played had a challenge in itself. And, like, all the teams are on par with, their dedication, their drive. So it's great to come up against those teams and to give us that challenge. We were obviously unlucky when it came to getting into the Senior A, but we're more than delighted to come up now against O'Donovan Ross's Senior B, and we know that they're going to be a tough game.
They certainly are. Talk to me about your management team, because they've been with you, I would imagine, all the way up through the underage ranks, not alone junior and intermediate ranks, to get to senior. How important have they been to you over the last couple of years?
So yeah, they've obviously been huge regarding, I suppose, the development of our team in the last few years. We have Vince and Connor and Sully, and then we've our kicking coach Jamesy, goalkeeper coach Billy, running coach Damien. So I suppose just the specialisation amongst the team, and even, like, lucky enough to have a physio, I think it's really developed the team, and it puts, I suppose, a professional aspect onto it that, like, makes you, helps you and pushes you. So it's definitely, I would say, a constructive environment. Like, there's pressure, we put pressure on each other, like, we train, like, we want to go out and play the game, so it only pushes us further, so it's great.
There's huge dedication for the management team, but just talk to me briefly about the dedication that the players come in, how often you have to train, how you have to hydrate, and, like, your weekends are gone for, like, 4 or 5 weekends of the year, and through the national, even more so, sorry, with the division and the league as well. This is a big commitment, the same as the men, but I don't think sometimes, Ali, ladies footballers get the same credit.
Yeah, no, it's a huge commitment, absolutely, but I don't think we wouldn't be doing it if we didn't love it. Like, it's so enjoyable all the same, even though that you have your challenges. And then I think, like, getting into the routine of it, like, we have the same routine the whole time. We like to sometimes stick to the same training sessions. You know, if we're training Saturday morning before a game, it'll be a light kick around and to debrief, and we kind of make that a point to do it anyway, just to keep the routine going. But regarding preparation, it's almost like clockwork. You know, we kind of have the same setup. We all know what our role is, and, like, even our bench is so strong that, like, they know that they're coming on and to be ready, and if something happens. So I think it's kind of predictable, which is good in a sense regarding our routine and our pre-game setup, which does make, I suppose, the day run that bit easier.
It's certainly working, Ellie, because you've reached this year's Cork Credit Union's Cork AGFA Senior B County Final, where Glanmire will take on O'Donovan Rossa at MDU Cork at 1:30 on Sunday. From everybody here in the Big Red Bench, Ellie, to you and Glanmire, we wish you all the best, and thank you so much for taking the time to speak to us here on the bench.
Thank you, Ger.
Ger also caught up with Laura O'Mahony of O'Donovan Rossa.
On Sunday, October the 5th at 1:30 p.m. in MTU Cork, the first of a doubleheader of County Cork LGFA County Finals takes place. The Senior B decider between O'Donovan Rossa and Glanmire, immediately followed by the Senior A decider between Aeroge and Ada. We're delighted to be joined on the line by the O'Donovan Rossa captain, Laura O'Mahony, ahead of the Skibbereen Club's Senior B final appearance. Laura, you're very welcome back to the bench. How are you?
I'm good, thanks, Jerry. Thanks for having me.
First year up senior. Fantastic 2024 intermediate county and Munster champions, got to an All-Ireland semi-final. When you come up to senior, a lot of teams struggle. O'Donovan Rossa have not struggled, Laura, just missed out in a Senior A semi-final, but a fantastic run of results, and now last weekend's win over Kinsale has you in a county final. What are the excitement levels like in the O'Donovan Rossa camp, because this is unexpected territory, I think, but something that you're quite used to over the last couple of years too?
Yeah, definitely. I think, like you said, probably coming up to senior ranks this year, all we wanted to do was be competitive. We never really set our sights out on any county final, senior A or senior B. So to be there now on Sunday is something we're really looking forward to, especially in the last few years when we've had that taste for success. But it just shows again, like the competition that's in the senior championship at the moment, you know, like it came down to points difference. It shows that every game matters, every score, whether we kick it over the bar, every block, every point. So I think that's something that we've really come to terms with this year, you know, that everything matters. It came down to 2 points between ourselves and St. Val's to get that Senior A semi-final spot. So in hindsight, I suppose we are disappointed, but at the same time, looking back at the start of the year, if we had been told that we'd get any county final spot, we would have grabbed it with both hands.
How much does the experiences of like winning junior B, junior A, intermediate over the last couple of years, being in tight situations, how much do you think that has helped you, especially like in the semi-final win over Kinsale and heading into this final?
Yeah, I think it really does give you the belief, I suppose, that even in coming into the last 10 minutes, if there's a few points in it, that we are still in the game. It definitely gives you the confidence to know that we've all been in those situations together. You know, even you mentioned the Kinsale game at the weekend, you know, we were very close. We were drawing nearly at the half time and they went up a point or two at the start of the second half. So like we were in the back seat, but I think we as a team know that it's not always over until the whistle goes. So just to make sure to keep driving on and the result will come then.
Yeah, and again, this is it's still a young panel, but it's an experienced panel, and you've been on a fantastic run, Laura. There's going to be a lot of excitement going into this final because you're taking on a very strong Glanmire team themselves. Like you just missed out on a place in the Senior A semi-finals, beaten to it by Aeroge and Mourne Abbey, but a battle-hardened team, a team that's come up through the ranks just like yourselves, and you know they've got Cork seniors, including the likes of Abby O'Mahony. You are expecting probably this is actually going to be your toughest match of the year.
Yeah, look, we know that Glanmire are serious, serious sides. They have unbelievable athletes and really good skill level and just their pace that they bring to their running aspect of their game. So we know that we're really up against it. But they've been in the same side as that we have. You know, they won the All-Ireland Intermediate 2 years ago. So we've similar experience when it comes to tight games. So, look, I suppose anything can happen on the day, but we know that we're going to have to put out a serious performance to beat Glanmire.
You've had great support throughout this run. No doubt the MTU Cork stand will be absolutely filled with Skibbereen supporters again on Sunday. They've been hugely important. You've often spoken to me about just how much they've lifted the players at difficult times, and you'll need them again this weekend.
Yeah, again, like I come back to your semi-final against Kinsale at the weekend, you know, it really did help to be at home and home soil, you know, that we had all our community around us cheering us on even when we were losing by a few points. And I think it comes back to the Munster final even last year when we were down against St. Dalby's and just the roar in the stand from our family, our friends, even people from the town that have no relation on the team. So I think hopefully now, fingers crossed, they'll get behind us like they do every year for Sunday and they'll help us get over the line.
And just finally, Laura, how much of a boost would it be in your first year up at senior to win a title like this? It's going to be incredibly hard against a very, very talented Glanmire team. But what would it mean?
It would mean so much, just because I think, like all of us, and I've said to you before, probably it was a dream of us when we started out the club to be competitive at a senior grade and a senior level, and to get a piece of silverware and a medal at that senior grade is probably stuff out of our dreams. But again, like last year, to go beyond intermediate in the county and win the Munster and then compete at the All-Ireland level, again, that was out of our dreams as well. So we just want to keep driving on and see where the limit is.
Indeed you do. On Sunday at MTU Cork, as part of a doubleheader, the Senior A and Senior B Cork Credit Union Cork LGFA Senior Football Championship Finals at 1:30 p.m. is at Donovan Ross at Glanmire. 4 o'clock then we've got Ada versus Aeroe. But on behalf of everybody here on the Big Red Bench, Laura Manny, captain of a Donovan Ross, we wish you all the best with that one.
Thanks, Ger.
And on the Senior A side, Ger caught up with Ada captain Roisin Phelan.
The 2025 Cork Credit Union's Cork LGFA Senior A County Final is a repeat of last year's clash between Ada and Aeroe, which Ada won in unbelievable circumstances on free kicks to win their first Senior A title. The two clubs are back again in this year's decider, and we're delighted to be joined on the line now by the Ada captain, Roisin Phelan, to look ahead to that game. Roisin, you're very welcome back to the bench. How are you?
Good there, Jerry. Do you?
All good, all excited at this time of the year for yourselves as well. Ada just came through a semi-final victory over Mournabbey, 4-10-1-9 this past weekend. And I put it to you straight away, Roisin, I know it was a team effort, but I see your name at the top of the scoring charts there with 2-1. Is this a new string to your bow on top of everything else that you've achieved, that you've now become a scoring midfielder as well?
Look, no, it is a team performance, and I am glad to get on the scoring sheet, but I'd be just as happy if it was someone else there. Look, we're a very tight-knit group. I'm really glad that we got over the line at the weekend. Mournabbey have been such a force of nature in ladies football over the last decade, and I have some very good friends in that team, and they really pushed the standard of football in Cork over the last decade, and I'm just really proud of our girls that they managed to step up to that challenge and get the result on the day.
You certainly did, and I mentioned the fact that you scored 2-1, but it certainly was a team effort. And I would put it to you again, Roisin, there's an experienced spine to this Ada team, including yourself, including Hannah Looney, including Sarah Leahy, but it's the other names that have been cropping up this year, Caitlin Smith, the Mary Leahys, the Abigail Rings. It looks like Ada have really kicked on from last year, and the boost of becoming county champions has made you a stronger unit.
Yeah, look, there's massive leadership all over the pitch there. They make the job of being captain very easy. They've really stepped up in a big way, and in tough moments, it hasn't always been the inter-county stars that are stepping up, and it's great to see that.
You came through a very tough group as well, unbeaten, beating Vals, O'Donovan Ross, Clonakilty, Castlehaven, before you faced off against Mournabbey. The level of competition, when you consider that Bride Rovers lost a relegation game and how long they've been senior, it seems to be levelling off at the very, very top of it now over the last couple of years, Roisin, in that there's no longer one outright favourite. The level of competition, how have you found it this year?
Yeah, really good. Like, the standard's been lifting, as I said, for a few years now, and I'm just happy that we're gradually building our level up from last year and that we're adding little more strings to our bow. We've had massive consistency with our management team. We brought in some new management this year, and they've given us a new perspective on our play, and that seems to be working for us. So I'm just glad that we're putting the performances on the field.
How different is it this year, Roisin, in terms of inside in the dressing room, in terms of preparing for the county championship? Because this time around, you've got a target on your backs, like all champions do. But you seem to have embraced it rather than it being a weight around the shoulders.
Yeah, there's obviously a bit more pressure when you come in and trying to defend something, but it's how you frame it yourself, I suppose. And we've had some good psychology sessions with our psychologist, Jennifer Hayes, and she's been excellent in trying to get us right for these things, you know. So I'm glad that that's something that people are talking about with us, that we have a target on our back, and I suppose it's a good position to be in.
How important is somebody like Jennifer in the modern day? You can't go into details, but you know, for a psychologist, you see a lot of the inter-county teams employing the services of a psychologist. Just how beneficial has Jennifer's presence been for you?
I mean, she came in with us last year and won the county championship. I think that's enough said about that. No, like, she's been excellent, and she had framed things in a different way for us. And I think in sport in general, ladies football, I've always got massive benefits from talking with our psychologist and from getting that from that side of the game. The mental side of the game is as much a part of it as the physical side. And I'm glad that we have someone of her stature with us.
And as you said, it's certainly working. Standing in your way of a second consecutive senior county title are Ayr Óg. It's their fifth final in a row. I saw firsthand at the weekend just how good this team is. Róisín, you know how good this team is. They pushed it to the absolute brink last year. Their motivation, I don't think, has a lot to do with that, with the greatest respect. I think it's to do with the fact that they're looking to avoid another county final defeat. How does that change things for you going in? Are you just concentrating on your own game and looking to get that right?
I mean, they're an excellent team. Like, no one, like, that's never been in question. They've shown great character and resilience to keep coming back over such a long period of time. And that shows great strength in their panel, because one or two years, like, to come back five years in a row shows, and there's a big turnover of players, and that, like, there can be turnover of players in that as well. That shows the resilience in that panel. And like, as you said, that they'll have no shortage of motivation, but neither will we.
Going into a second consecutive final, how different is the mindset? Are you just trying to repeat and do all the right things that you did last year? And, you know, I know there's some new voices, as you said, in the management team, but it's essentially the same core. It's Eric Smith at the top of it. It's the same panel of players with a couple of new players added. Is it different coming into this county final for you, or is there a bit more relaxation because you know what's ahead of you now?
Being there and having been in the final last year, I suppose that will give some of the girls a heads up of what's to come. It doesn't hugely change the preparation. Like, week on week, it's a championship match, it's a knockout match, and you're just trying to get yourself right for that. We'll be training hard this week, getting all the last little bits sorted. But, like, just being around each other really is the main thing this week, and just lifting each other up.
Yeah, and ahead of that final, and just finally, Róisín, from your own point of view, you seem like you're enjoying your football quite a lot. You're playing, you're scoring, and you seem to be featuring quite right regularly in a lot of the match reports and the dispatches that I get. Is it fair to say avoiding injury is three quarters of that for a club player at this time of the year, but also that you are actually enjoying this run with Ada right now?
Yeah, 100%. This group gives me really good energy, and like, there's nothing quite like a community of sport to keep you going. And it's a lot of hard work goes into getting to this point, but it's important to take a step back and appreciate it too. You know, these days don't come around that often.
They certainly don't, but for the second year in a row, Ada will be in the Cork Credit Union's Cork AGFA Senior A County Final, a repeat of last year's final where they'll be taking on Ayr Óg. Promises to be another absolute cracker. And from everybody here on the Big Red Bench, we wish you all the best, Róisín Phelan, and thank you very much for your time.
Thanks very much, sir.
And last but not least, we're going to hear from the Ayr Óg captain, Gino Gorman.
This weekend sees the Cork Credit Union's Cork LGFA Senior A and Senior B County Finals going ahead, a doubleheader at MTU Cork on Sunday. The curtain raiser is the Senior B decider between Glanmire and O'Donovan Rossa. And then the big one, the rerun of last year's final in the Senior A final. It's a repeat of Ada versus Ayr Óg ahead of that absolutely what's going to be a cracking encounter. We're delighted to be joined by the Ayr Óg captain, Jen O'Gorman, here on the Red FM Big Red Bench. How are you, Jen?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
Thank you for joining us amid a very, very busy week, I would imagine, for Ayr Óg. We covered your semi-final win over St. Val's, which we'll talk about very shortly. But can I just ask you, as captain and somebody who's been around this team and this group of players for so long, what's the mindset in the Ayr Óg dressing room heading into this final and meeting Ada once again?
Yeah, I suppose we're excited. We've just been taking one match at a time this year. We've lots of new young, fresh girls on our panel, and you know, for them it might be their first time with this experience, so you know, different than any other game, and that's kind of just how we see it at the moment.
Yeah, you've got the experience of these finals. A lot of young players may not necessarily have that, but the experience as well of playing at MTU Cork, Chen, does that matter on big days like today, like Sunday?
I don't really think so. I think from like the group games, you could be down in West Cork for a game, you could be on your own patch of ground. So I think we all have experienced all teams of playing at different venues. Obviously, it's a nice setup there in MTU and Cork, but I don't think the location will you know, hamper either or team.
What does the benefit of having come through such a tough group, Bride Rovers, Kinsale, Glanmire and Mourne Abbey, what benefit is that for you, having been tested in those, in like most of those games coming into the final and in the semi-final against St. Val's?
Yeah, I think, to be honest, in the last 2 years, I suppose all the grades at the senior level, all the teams have probably upped their ante. And I think all the games have been very good over the last 2 years. There's never been a clear favourite from the outset. And I think that's to everyone's benefit. Everyone wants to be playing competitive games, you know.
But the fact that, I suppose, Moran Abbey and Glanmire specifically and definitely like in those particular group games would have pushed you harder than in recent years. You showed real battling qualities come through those games. You have all this talent. You've got a fantastic squad of players, a lot of new young players on it, as you mentioned. But winning those tight, really tough championship matches, you would have seen the benefit of that in getting to a final. Do you think that's going to stand to you particularly this year?
I think in the last few years, to be honest, we've had quite tough semi-finals and group games. Like last year, we would have had Vals in the semi-final as well. So I think it's honestly no different than any other year. Like, we're lucky we have had tough challenges, tough semi-finals, and we're just preparing away ourselves now for this weekend.
Does the benefit of playing in so many finals help you and more experienced players in weeks like this, in that you can turn to the younger players and just advise them on what they need to do and maybe not to do?
Well, I suppose everyone plays football, whatever grade you're at, to get to a county final, so it can only be a benefit having been in a county final situation previously, you know. I definitely don't think it could be seen as any way a disadvantage. So yeah, I think that also sometimes enables lists, so I think some of our younger girls, it won't even faze them at all, you know. I think they'll just take it on like any other game.
You really took the game to St. Val's when it was in the melting pot in that semi-final in Ovens just last weekend. It was impressive how, again, you kept your cool. You didn't lose when the scores were going over the bar for St. Val's during their purple patches. This is a very experienced and settled team, is how I would describe Aroge, that you know what to do, you go through, you know exactly what's required of you. And did you find that as well against Val's, that once you got on top, that you were able to, you know, get on top of that game and win it out based on your previous experiences?
Yeah, I think a lot of confidence in the team and mindset is a massive thing. And I suppose we just don't get bogged down. Each team's going to have a purple patch in any one game at any one level. So I think we know to expect that. And, you know, it's just focusing on ourselves really and our own game.
What is your opinion of the standard in Cork senior grade at the moment? You've had a good look at it over the last couple of years, but particularly in the last number of years, like the likes of Ada coming up, the likes of yourselves being consistent challengers. There's Glanmire, there's lots of other teams, O'Donovan Ross I know as well. It looks like a stacked top of that particular grade after Moran Abbey had dominated for so long, and they're still a threat.
Yeah, absolutely. That's when I refer to previous years, especially I think this year and last year, like, there's definitely some more even playing field across all the teams, and I think that they'll need to be favoured. Like, we all want to be playing good games. It's better for it to be more competitive, and, you know, it gives everyone a chance, and everyone's looking for the same chivalry at the end of the day.
Now, you've met Ada before at this level. You've met them in a final. You understand the threat and the quality that they have. How much are you looking forward to it? And are you a kind of player, it doesn't sound like you are, it gets nervous before big games like this, but how much is everybody looking forward to having another crack off them again?
Yeah, absolutely. We're excited. I think anyone and everyone should only be excited if you're in a county final situation. Whatever team we're facing, it wouldn't really hamper or, I suppose, change how I feel about it. I'm really excited for the run up to it. A lot of the girls on the team are excited, and yeah, we're just driving on till Sunday now.
Yeah, you had great support in that semi-final the last day at home to St. Val's. You've had great support over the last number of years. It's one of the factors about this particular club, and it's a very important year for your club, celebrating a centenary as well. But the numbers, the crowds will come out as they always do, Jen, on county final day, and they're a huge help to you.
Yeah, absolutely. Like, Aero Club has always been very supportive over the last number of years with the group of girls. And I've absolutely no doubt that they'll be out getting a good workout of their lungs on Sunday, shouting us on.
That's a very good way of putting it, getting a workout in the lungs on Sunday at 4 o'clock, yeah, at MTU Cork. The Senior A County Final, repeat of last year's Ada versus Aroge, will be live there for the Big Red Bench. But ahead of that, everybody here wishes you and everybody in Aroge all the best, Jenna Gorman. And thank you for taking the time to speak to us here on the Big Red Bench.
No bother. Chat to you. Thanks, Jer.